This year was made available the Ili Nishmas
Rav Rebleze ben Rav and Tzion Gavriel Hamburger. That's all.
Lamed Tes Amid Beis Two Shulis after the Gemara spreads. Tona Rabbanon. On the subject of Morar. And Yoitzin Bohem Shmushin. They're not Yoitzin if they're wilted. Now wilted doesn't mean dried up. But it's not fresh, it's wilted. So their first opinion is you're not Yetzer, but more or less wilted. Of course, he's talking about the leaves. Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Tzadik, Amen, Yetzer ben Kemusha. As long as they're not dried up, you're Yetzer. Because even Kemusha, although their taste is not and their best, still has the taste of more. He has a question. Mahu sheyoytze adam yedei chavosai b'moel shomayz hasheni b'yoshayim. Can he fulfill his obligation Pesach night with the moel of mayz hasheni in Yerushalayim? Of course, mayz hasheni you couldn't eat outside of Yerushalayim. But in Yerushalayim, there's also a question of this permissible to eat. But maybe you're not Yetzer Mora, because maybe it's like matzah, and we'll soon see. If it's like matzah, then you can't be Yetzer, it's not a shame. Now he explains this question. According to Rabbi Akiva, wouldn't be any question. Because matzah is Maisa Sheni Deraisa. To separate tumas and maizes from the grains for which matzah is made is the dechi of the reise. So the maizah sheni is the reise maizah sheni. Still, if you keep all the maizah sheni of matzah, you can be yetzer Yerushalayim, the mitzvah of matzah. The more the rabbanim boy, more was only maizah sheni the rabbanim. Surely you're yetzer, because men are told no chiyuv of maizes, maizah rishon, maizah sheni. From vegetables. The chiyuv of maizes from vegetables is only the rabbanan. So then surely, if you hold matzah, which is maizah sheni d'oraisa, you eat in Yerushalayim Pesach night. So Mora, who's maizah sheni is only the rabbanan, surely you eat in Pesach night. Ti boy alochman, is there any question? Alibe de rabbi yesag libe. Mark, because he says matzah of maizah sheni cannot be yesag. Because it's not nechel b'chol moshavis. It says b'chol moshavu sechem techulu matzis. Matzah has to be capable of being eaten anywhere, whereas matzah sheni matzah can be eaten only in Yerushalayim. So Rabbi Yisraeli says it's possible for the mitzvah of matzah. So we say the matzah deraisa, who dole nothing? Matzah, where matzah sheni is deraisa, if we're not yetzer, the mitzvah of matzah Pesach night. Avon Mora, which only Maizah Sheni the Rabban, it's not really Maizah Sheni, only Rabban and Maizah Sheni. Maybe nothing, maybe over will be Yetzer, Pesach night in Yerushalayim, Mora of Maizah Sheni. Or Dilma, perhaps, call the Terkin or Rabban and Kedah Reisah Tikkun. Atakonas Chachamim is modeled along the lines of the Reisah. And if Maizah Sheni the Reisah, Rabbi Yitzchak Gleeler holds it not Yetzer. In Yerushalayim, so more, which only Maaseh Sheni Rabbanan, you're also not Yetzer, because the Takonas Chachamim of Maaseh Sheni follows along the line of the Reisadikim Maaseh Sheni. That's your question. Omer Rabbe, Mistaba, the story is Matzeh Umorah. It goes together. So whatever is not kosher by Matzeh won't be kosher by Morah. And therefore, just like Matzah of Maaseh Sheni, according to Rabbi Yisrael Glili, it not Yetzer in Yerushalayim Pesach night, because it not Nechol b'chol Neshoves. Also, Mora of Maaseh Sheni the same, although Mora of Maaseh Sheni is not really Maaseh Sheni, it's only the Rabbanan, Matzah and Mora, say that. The Mishnah, the following sugya, is about one subject. That's the subject of wetting grain. Before the grain was ground, you used to wash it, get off the dust from it. That's called the seesaw. Loises to wet the grain. But if it's going to be for Pesach, it makes a problem, because when you make the grain wet, it tends to ferment. Wet kernels of grain are machmits. That's the subject of following suya. Mishnah. You cannot soak the bran for chickens. Morsan is not the whole kernel. It's only the rough part of the kernel. I mean, you break off the husks. That's called the morsan. They pound it first, break off the husks. Now, you shouldn't, but that's also grain. So you shouldn't soak the morsan for chickens on Pesach, because when it's wet, it tends to become chametz. Avol chelten, but you can scald it. Now, chelten means this. When you have boiling water, you can pour in grain or flour in boiling water, and before it has a chance to ferment, it becomes boiled immediately, and after that, they cannot become chametz. Anything that's cooked immediately cannot become chametz. If it's cooked in the regular way, you put it in a cold pot of water and you set it on the stove, so as it gradually warms up, the water can cause the chametz to ferment. When you throw cause the grain to ferment. When you throw the grain into boiling water, it immediately becomes finished, and once it's cooked, it cannot come chametz anymore. Now, when you bake flour, can't become chametz anymore. Once it's baked, even though you'll soak it in water for a very long time, nothing can happen. Once it's baked, the power of fermentation is finished. And now we're learning cholten. Also, by putting it immediately in hot water, it cuts off the whole process of fermentation, cannot become chametz. And therefore, avol chelten. So you can take the bran and pour it into boiling water. Immediately, the bran is now incapable of becoming machmis any further, and you can feed it to chickens. Oisha lo tishreis ha-murson she-tel bi-odot la-melechetz. A woman shouldn't soak the bran that she's carrying in her hand to the melechetz. Instead of having soaps, they used to carry bran and wash themselves with the bran. The bran had a certain abrasive action, and it helped clean off the skin. But she's going to wet the bran and then rub herself with it. The bran, while it's wet, may become chametz. So she can't wet the bran and bring it with her, let's say, the wet bran to the mikveh or the melechet where she's going to wash herself, because there it's going to become chametz in the meantime. Avol shofa hi b'vsoa yovesh, but she can rub it dry. And even though her body is wet, but she can rub that dry morsum on her body. But that little time, that little bit of water won't make it chametz. You're not soaking it in water. So she takes dry bran and rubs on her body, even though she's wet. It's mutzah to do that. Say up to him. A man shouldn't chew wheat and make out of it a paste and put it on his wound. Let's say he has a boil. So he makes a poultice of chewed wheat. I remember they still did it, our European parents, many years ago. Used to make such poultices out of chewed vegetables or chewed wheat and put it on the wound with a bandage. On a boil. But a Pesach is also to do that. Mipnei she'en machmitzes, because it becomes chomet. Now there's a chiddush here. The chiddush is, even though it's not in contact with the water, only with saliva. Now, mei peis, we'll learn later, don't produce any chametz. If you have wheat or flour mixed with fruit juices and no water, it doesn't become chametz. Mei peis ein machmis, and we'll learn later about that. But saliva, he tells us, is machmis, that's a chiddush. And tomorrow we'll talk about that. Say that piece. The following things cannot become chametz or offer. Anything that's baked, the mevushel is cooked. Now this needs explanation. The word mevushel, later it'll be explained right away. And something that's scalded in boiling water. So ofoy is understandable. If it's baked, it can become chametz. Cholut, if it's put immediately in scalding water, then no question, no can become chametz. But the question is mevushel, like the Gemara, mevushel, how can you say it's not chametz? Ah, the mevashele, before the water becomes hot enough to cook the grain that you put into it, mechameya makes it chametz. Gradually, the water, before it's boiling hot, has an effect on the grain and makes it chametz. Omar Pope, you're right. You cannot cook grain on Pesach. Because before it gets very hot, boiling, it'll become chametz. But he's saying both things together. Ofer, if it's baked, shebishlo, and he cooked it, comma. So you take a piece of bread and you put it into soup on Pesach, no harm, because once the bread is baked, it can become chametz in the soup. And even though the soup is warm, won't make it chametz. There you have the din that you can eat gebok on Pesach, al pi din. Those who don't eat it are afraid that maybe they didn't bake the bread well, the matzahs well enough. Didn't bake it well enough, they're afraid there are pockets of raw, unbaked flour inside. That's where the chesh is. But al-pidin, the Gemara is matya, and doesn't have any chash. Because once it's ofoy, it's properly baked, it cannot become chametz. Even though you put it subsequently to cook, and as the water takes time to warm up, it could have an effect and cause it to become chametz. Now it can't, because it's baked beforehand. Say that. Tanya Langa Baraisa Rabbi Yase Brahuda Amen. Kemach, flour. This is a bag of flour or a bowl of flour. Shenofala Sehadela. They fell into it a drip. They said there was a leak in the roof. And there's a drip from the rain, it fell into the flour. Now there's a chash. Fell on the grain. There's a chash. Made it chametz. He says, no, afilu kol ayim kula ein avoli chametz. Even though the drip continues all day long, there's a lot of the drip. It doesn't become chametz. Now, omar apope, for who? With a condition. The obit, it goes, it makes tif, drop after drop. But the drop after drop, so we say, the continuous pounding of the drops on that place prevents it from fermenting. To ferment, it has to be without any concussion from outside. But if it's disturbed, a drop after drop, it won't become chametz. But you understand that's a cooler we don't rely on. But strictly speaking, that's what he says. So we have a bag of grain underneath the roof where there's a drip, and the drip is drop after drop, so we say, since it drips continually, it doesn't have a chance to rest and become mischametz. Come 11, say that. Omri de Be'er Vishila. They said in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shila. Vatika is muta. Vatika is a food made out of flour. Fragt die Gemara, was haben wir in der Bereich über Artikel ist Osser? Ist es auch Kasche? Oh, the of the, this is talking, we made it the Mishke Milke, only with oil and salt added to the flour. Therefore, it's not capable of becoming chametz, because oil is made peyes. It's olive juice, olive oil. So olive oil cannot make chametz. So there was that kind of atikis muta. For the other day, being maya milcha, made it with water and salt, it's a different story. Then the water can make it, make the flour chametz, you say that. Lolim chainish kidra. A man shouldn't thicken. Limch means to thicken a pot of cooked soup or something else by putting in flour. Want to make it thicker, you put in flour. Now ordinarily you can't put flour into soup because it'll become chametz. It's talking about not masa flour. Ordinary flour. It'll become chametz. But he's talking about kimchet avishuna. That's flour of parched grain. You used to dry the grain in the stove. So the heat of the stove actually baked the grain. And once the grain is baked, so it's not capable of becoming chametz. And when you grind that grain, parched grain, into flour, so I would say, there's no chash anymore, it's like baked. Still he said, you cannot use kimche davi shuna, flour of parched grain, limche, to put into thicken kidra, a pot of soup. Again, lo limche, that a man shouldn't thicken kidra, a pot of soup, the kimche davi shuna, with grain, with flour of parched grain. Dilma lo boshel shop, maybe it was not dried properly. Maybe the parched grain was not properly baked. It's not like you bake bread. When you bake bread, you do a good job. You bake it entirely because you have to eat it subsequently. But when you dry grain in the stove, you don't necessarily bake it entirely. You just dry it. So therefore, we're afraid maybe you left inside of the grain some of the internal material uncooked, unbaked. And therefore, when you made flour, it's capable of becoming chametz. Again, Dilma lo boshel shapa, maybe he didn't dry it, means in the stove, properly. Also, it will come to chametz. Say that. Lo lichle. Now, cholid, remember, is to put something in the scalding water. And above we learn, it's muta because it scalds immediately. Not you put it to boil. You put it in the scalding water, so immediately it becomes incapable of becoming ever chametz. Still, lo lichlet inish tei chiti b'adi adoshi. He shouldn't scald two wheat grains together. Means he throws in one at a time. He shouldn't throw in two at a time. Throws in one, it becomes scalded, and another, again. But two at one time, he shouldn't throw in. Maybe one of the wheat grains will go and settle in the crack of the other wheat grain. Wheat has a crack along one side. Therefore, in that crack, it's possible for water to enter and to make the contents of the grain chametz. So, if you would put a wheat grain by itself in scalding water, so the water comes in on all sides and even inside too, and it scalds it, so it couldn't become chametz anymore. But when you put two wheat grains together, maybe one wheat grain will obstruct the entrance to the other wheat grain, and therefore the water won't be able to take effect on that opening in the wheat grain, and what's inside is still capable of becoming chametz. Means the boiling of the water won't be oiled, won't accomplish on that wheat grain whose opening is obstructed. Again, won't accomplish the cool of the mind, the boiling of the water, me'al be'ruchse, from the four sides of the wheat grain. Because one side, the opening is obstructed by the neighboring wheat grain. But also, it'll come to chemitz. So therefore, you should throw them in one at a time. Say that. A man should roast 2 ears of grain together. Now, roasting, of course, is like baking, and it will prevent it from ever becoming chametz. Rabbi says, 2 together, you shouldn't. Why? Maybe water, while you're roasting it, water will be forced out of one ear of grain, and the other one will absorb it. So the exchange of water during the process of roasting could cause chimas. Although it's made payers, but the rabbi is afraid made payers are machmits. So he's afraid that the juice that will be driven by the heat out of one ear of grain would enter the other one and cause the other one to become chimas. Also the chimas, will come to chimas. Amar Ehovas, Ehovas said, if so, if you're worried about that, so why say 2 ears of grain you shouldn't roast together? Even one you shouldn't roast by itself? Maybe some water will come out from the wheat, from the ear of grain, from one end, and the other end will absorb it. The same wheat grain. If you heat it, maybe the juice will come out on one side and will be absorbed on the other side. So the same chash, Eliyahu must say, O Malove, that the whole thing doesn't apply. Why? It's made pears. The juice of grain is made pears. Or made ninu. Or made pears, say, Namachmiz, say that. Abaya retracted from that statement they made. Now, he didn't retract because of what Rabbi said. Abaya still cheshes that may pairs could be machmits. But he retracted for a different reason. To call any case of agav madlayo because of handling them, any case where a liquid comes out because of handling them, in the process of handling them, lo machmits. It can be a machmits. It means, since it's in the middle of the heat of roasting, even though it comes out of the grain, enters another grain, while you're handling them in the roasting, it can become chametz because there's a heat involved all the time. It brings a case. Omar Abaye, Hai Chatzve Davishune, a pitcher of parched grain. Davishune really means flour made from parched grain. You have a pitcher full. Now, you take this pitcher and you put it on the stove to heat it up in order to make it completely dry. The parched grain in the pitcher becomes hot by putting it on the stove. Schiffe. If you put it upside down, the pitcher with the grain upside down, so the bottom of the pitcher, the mouth of the pitcher is on the bottom, Shores Mutter. Because the liquid that comes out of the kernels as they're being parched, as they're being roasted, that liquid pours out. Since the bottom, the mouth of the pitcher is on the bottom, it's upside down, so any liquid that comes out of the parched grain will pour out. So again, if it's upside down, Shores Mutter. It's a kefir, but it's right side up, it's awesome. Because then, while you're parching the grain, liquids collect in the bottom of the pitcher, and those liquids, it could cause the kernels to become chametz. Now, but when it's upside down, it's matya. Although the grain on the top, is lying on the top, as it gives forth some liquid, and the liquid trickles down and percolates through the grain below it before it pours out on the stove. So why would it help if it's upside down? Let's say that 60 layers of grain. That's the hypothesis in the pitcher. So the top layers, as they give forth their water, so that water has to percolate down through all the layers till it comes to the bottom and it pours out. Only Rabbi is not worried about that, because it's called agav madlai, in the process of handling it. Since it's all in the process of the heat of handling it, so it won't make the chametz. But if the pitcher is right side up, then the liquid collects to the bottom of the pitcher. That's a different story. So then the grains are being cooked in liquid, and they'll become chametz. And they're afraid maybe parents are machmets. Say that. Even the pitcher is right side up, and the liquid would collect at the bottom of the pitcher, it's muta, because may peres, it's juice of peres, the juice of the grains, or may peres, a machmitzin. So we see that's the difference between Abai and Lov. Abai is cheshit, may peres could be machmitzin, and Lov says no. Tone it up on him. Ein loisusin seirem epesach. You cannot wet barley on Pesach or for Pesach, because the wetness would cause the barley to ferment. Comes chametz. V'im losas, now suppose he did wet. Now the wetting itself doesn't necessarily mean it's chametz, but if he wetted, so we have to see, it's a chash, the fear that it's chametz. So in this baku, if the grains of barley were swollen by the water, by the wetness, and they split, they kind of crack in them, asur. That's a sign that they fermented, that years of fermentation was created inside by the contact of the water and the content of the kernels, caused the gears, and that caused the seed to expand and to crack. So if the kernels crack, that's a sign that it's chametz. Lo nisbaku metaras. So although lachatchil is also to be loisus, to wet barley, but if it's wetted and you see that the kernels were not cracked, it's muta. He says, even if it's cracked, you can soak it in vinegar. Bechemetz same song. And the vinegar tightens it up. The vinegar prevents it from any fermentation. Now, we can learn a different Mishnah. We learn that it's machmir. Rashi learns, im royesh nefes, you see that they're swollen. It could mean, even they're not split. Rabbi says machmir, and says you have to put them in vinegar, and vinegar will prevent them from splitting. So we have two ways of learning it. So I'll go back to the first pshat at the time being. Rabbi Yehuda is saying, even though it's nisbaku, even though it's split, still you can still soak it in vinegar, and vinegar tightens it up. Same so that it shouldn't ferment. Say that. As you said on the same song. And it's a mistake here. Astringent balaz. That's just elsewhere. It's astringent. Vinegar is an astringent. It causes things to contract. Now, Omar Shmuel, ein alocha kabyes, which means if it's lo nisbaku, even though it was wet, but you see it wasn't split, it's muta. If it is baku, nothing's going to help. Once the kernel split because of the wetness, then it's awesome. Doesn't mean it has to be split actually to become asa. If you would put these grains that had been affected by water on them, you put them al pi chobis on and by an open barrel of wine, let's say a half open barrel of wine, and the strong odor of the wine comes out, the fumes of the wine come out, And they'll split melech, they'll split automatically. Take some and put them on the near the fumes of an open keg of wine. And the fumes have an effect on these softened kernels and makes them split by themselves. That's called nizbaku. But suppose you put them there and they won't split, that's not nizbaku. Shmuel said no. Even if they would split as a result of the fumes of wine, but if you didn't put them there and they didn't split, then it's muta. Only if they actually did split, they become osa. The fact that they could split, if you put them near the fumes of wine, that doesn't make it osa. It's only if they were split already by the action of the water on them. Say that. Shmuel uvdi. Shmuel did a maisa, means he passed him a maisa lahalaka, bidure in the village of Bei Bar Choshu, of the house of Bar Choshu, a certain village. His baku mamish. He said if it didn't split actually, it was muta. So even though it had been subjected to water and it could have split if you would have experimented by putting near the fumes of wine, you don't care. As long as it didn't actually split because of the water, so it's still muta, it's not chametz. Omar Rabbi, a bal nefesh lo yilsus. A man who's a bal nefesh, with a soul, means a better type Jew, shouldn't wet any grain. Shouldn't wet grain. We learned above, you shouldn't wet grain. Frag the Gemara, my ear, your bal nefesh. What force should I say because they're bal nefesh? Anybody is usher to wet grain. Chatchila. I feel the cool arm in arm. Anybody shouldn't wet grain. D'otani only the b'raisa. Ain't loose the sincere in Pesach. That's for everybody that's halacha. Chatchila, you cannot wet grain in Pesach. So why say bal nefesh? And for the Gemara, come on. Bal nefesh. I feel a chit, even wheat. It means above, it's talking about barley. Barley is more susceptible. Barley is a softer kind of grain, more susceptible to water. But wheat, you could wash. But wheat is hard. She says, a bal nefesh, even wheat, the shviri, which are hard grains, wheat is hard, lo yiltes. So we see that if it's not a bal nefesh, it's muta to wash the wheat on Pesach preparatory to grinding it. Only barley is awesome. Omale Rav Nachman, man sois lele abe. Anybody who obeys you, means basically abe, he calls him abba. Anybody who obeys an abe, that you shouldn't, if you're a bal nefesh, you shouldn't wash the wheat. Ochel name di pusha. He'll eat rotten bread, rotten matzah. Why is that? Because there's dirt, there's dust on the grains. And therefore he recommends everybody, even a bal nefesh, should wash the wheat. There's isha only on barley, but on wheat he holds even a bal nefesh to wash. If you don't wash the wheat, you're going to eat rotten bread. They'll eat bread mixed with dirt, with dust. Again. Man did sayas leilav. Anybody obeys rabbi who says bal nefesh shouldn't wash the wheat, ochom name di push, he'll eat bread of ipish. Ipish means with a rotten taste. The whole bay Rav Huna lost it. He quite an example. In the house of Rav Huna, they washed the wheat on Pesach, or for Pesach. Obey Rabbi bal Rabin lost it. So therefore, Rav Nachman said, we don't have to worry about this chumra of rabbi. Even a bal nefesh is mutter to wash the wheat, but wheat is hard. Say that. The rabbi Omar also says, rabbi disagreed. Rav Nachman says also to wash wheat. We'll soon see. Rabbi will change his opinion. Later he'll say it's mutter, and even later he'll say it's a mitzvah. Right now he's saying it's also lilted. The whole time you. You shouldn't wash the barley on Pesach. So the answer is sir in hudala. Barley you shouldn't wash. No, that's a kasha. So you say barley you shouldn't wash. Ochit is shari, but wheat is muta. So why does Rosh Hashanah say it's also to wash wheat on Pesach? It says barley is also. So it seems wheat is mutter. So Rabbi says, lo mi boyekam. He's saying, lo mi boyechitam. Don't have to tell me that wheat is also to wash. Wheat is surely also to wash. Why? Keeping these baits here. Wheat has a hinge. A hinge means a hole in the side. Wheat kernel has a hole in the side of going above. I leave who my water comes in. Therefore, the wheat is more susceptible, even though wheat is hard, but it's more susceptible to water entering inside the kernel. So wheat is surely also to wash, Rabbi said. Abol sare dishi, with barley, which is smooth. Smooth on all sides. There's no opening into the barley seed. Amish shopping, I would say it's proper to wash from mash below, that even barley shouldn't wash. But Hoda, after the Rabbi said, muta little, it's muta to wash wheat. First Abdiya. Now Rabbi said, now it's muta to wash wheat. The time you're on the bais, Yetze, it can be Yetze, Matzah, Pesach night, be passed in the kia. Even though it's a sifted flour, means even though we learn lechem oini, so you might think poor man's bread, but sifted flour, so this, where it's pure flour, it wouldn't be yetze, it's under yetze. You yetze with pasnekia, with pure flour, matzahs. And v'hadro hadro means the worst kind of matzahs, that has even the bran in it. Now, two extremes, the very best, aristocratic matzahs and the poorest matzahs. Now, Rabbi said, how can it be pasnekia if you didn't wash the wheat? The Epshenikia, it's impossible to have pasnekia for later season, unless you wash the wheat. And we learned about your Yetze with pasnekia, which means you wash the wheat. So you see, washing your wheat is mutter, say that. Esvir HaPapa Lavai, we'll just start the next maimer, we won't finish it. Esvir HaPapa Lavai, that's the kasha. Rabbi said, it's mutter to wash wheat for Pesach. We'll learn HaKemochim HaSlote Shalmochim. Flour. Kemach is ordinary flour. And Slotim is fine flour. Of Goyim Shalkfarim. If it's from village Goyim, small town, village Goyim, they don't eat fancy things. Toher, it's Toher. Because we say, it would never mukshel a kabel tume, never washed it with water, so it's not capable of coming tume. So it's Toher. We shall croak him with goyim of big towns that are accustomed to more luxurious living, tumeya, because they wash their grain before making it into flour. So it's mukshel a kabel tume. Now, kfarim, in the small villages, my time, why is it toya? Lav mishum dolo lossesi. Because they don't wash it. And there was mukshel kabel tume. And still, the koreila said they called it soilas. So it seems it can be called fine flour even though it wasn't washed. But kasha above it said a proof. The fact that a yetze with a matzah of soilas shows that it was washed. No. You can have a soul without being washed. Say the cash, that's what I'm just asking.
This shiur was made available by kolavigda.com. To sponsor a shiur and help us grow the Avigda Miller's Gemara Shiurim, call or text 347-541-8051 or email us at kolavigda.com. That's info@kolavigdor. Thank you.